Good afternoon. It's Alison Priseman here from Mount Temple Comprehensive on the Malahide Road, and I'm here with three of our first-year students, Ava, Lily and Tig. They are going to talk about some books they read today. They all read something different on their own time, so they haven't read books from the curriculum. They've just read whatever they wanted to read. So that's a little bit different today because we usually do something from the school curriculum. They're also going to help me today by co-hosting, asking each other some of the questions. So our students will be interviewing today and I'll have a few questions of my own to ask as well. So guys, welcome along to Near FM today. It's good to see you. It's good to see you're back because you've obviously done this before. Maybe we could begin with, maybe Tig, would you like to ask Lily a bit about what she's read?
So, what's your book called?
It's called Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Right, so, what's Harry Potter about?
Harry Potter is about a young boy called Harry Potter. He is brought up by his uncle and his auntie, and he is with his cousin. And then all of a sudden, after his 11th birthday, a big man comes to him and tells him that he's a wizard. And so he's very taken aback by this, but he's brought away and he's brought to a magical wizarding school called Hogwarts.
Where is Hogwarts?
In England.
So what's the school like?
The school is a magical place. Their headmaster is called Albus Dumbledore. They have different subjects like defence against the dark arts, transformation, like how to change into like a frog or how to change a frog into a spider. Or something like that.
So they don't really do the junior cert then?
No.
No, totally different from our school. How does he get to Hogwarts? Does he just hop on a bus or is there a way to get to Hogwarts?
There's a magical train. So you know the way there's the ninth, the platform 9 and then there's platform 10. Well, for them, they're in King's Cross Station and their platform is called 9 3/4. And on Harry's first day when he goes to there, he's like, there is no 9 3/4. Mm-hmm. And he's told to go through the wall between 9 and 10. So he has to run through it and he's really scared because it's a wall. Mm-hmm. But it's a magical wall and he has to run through the wall to get to platform 9 3/4.
That's probably really exciting. Were you excited from the beginning? Like, is it the kind of story where it just jumps into the action and you get kind of excited and you're dying to see what happens next, or is it a slow one? Does it take its time?
Well, it depends. Like, for some of the books, I find them quite, like, they start off very slowly. Like, for some of the other Harry Potter books, they start very slowly. And then for The Philosopher's Stone, it just goes right into it. You know, it's, you learn so much at the very start. You know everyone's names and how Harry became who he was, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. Very good. And, like, even though it's all magic and fantasy, is there any element of real life in it?
Well, I think it has somewhere Harry's parents are dead and where he moves in with guardians who don't really care much about him. Mm-hmm. They care more about their child instead of him. So I think that's sort of, you can relate, like some people can relate to that. So.
Okay, so he comes from kind of a sad family and then he kind of finds family in his friendships, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Okay, and were there any characters that you particularly liked in the story?
I really liked Hermione just because she's quite smart. She knows what she's talking about. She's nice and everything, and she's very friendly, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And have you read the story a few times?
Three times.
And why have you read the other stories more than once?
I've read all the books, like, all together. I've read them 14 times altogether.
My goodness. So you are definitely a fan. Oh my God. Why keep going back to them? Why read the same thing over and over?
When you first read it, you're sort of like, oh my God. When you finish it all, you're like, whoa, all that was crazy. And then when you read back into it, you can see all the little details that like add together to make the entire thing. Because I think the author, J.K. Rowling, she's very smart because everything that happened in the book happened for a reason.
Right.
So, like, everything in the book happened for a reason, so it's actually really interesting when you read it again.
Oh, that's brilliant. So, and you know, to me, the mark of a good book is that it's worth a reread, right? Sometimes you read a book cover to cover, that's it, it's great, I'm finished now, I'm done, like, I'm going to go on to the next book. But a really good piece of writing will be worth rereading. So it must be really good if you've read it over and over. Do you want to read a passage to us, Lily, there? Did you have a passage that you wanted to choose for us?
Yes. Malfoy couldn't believe his eyes when he saw that Harry and Ron were still at Hogwarts next day, looking tired but perfectly cheerful. Indeed, by next morning, Harry and Ron thought that meeting the three-headed dog had been an excellent adventure, and they were quite keen to have another one. In the meantime, Harry filled Ron in about the package that seemed to have been moved from Gringotts to Hogwarts, and they have spent a lot of time wondering what could possibly need such heavy protection. It's either really valuable or really dangerous, said Ron. Or both, said Harry. But as all they knew for sure about the mysterious object was that it was about 2 inches long, they didn't have much chance of guessing what it was or without further clues. Neither Neville or Hermione showed the slightest interest in what lay underneath the dog and the trapdoor. All Neville cared about was never going near the dog again. Hermione was now refusing to speak to Harry and Ron, but she was such a bossy know-it-all that they saw this as an added bonus. All they really wanted now was a way of getting back at Malfoy, and to their great delight, just such a thing arrived with the post about a week later. As the owls flooded into the Great Hall, as usual, everyone's attention was caught at once by a long, thin package carried by 6 large screech owls. Harry was just as interested as everyone else to see what was in this large parcel, and was amazed when the owl soared down and dropped it right in front of him, knocking his bacon to the floor. They had hardly fluttered out of the way when another owl dropped a letter on top of the parcel.
Okay, well done, Lily. Why did you pick that passage?
I think it makes people want to know more about what's in the parcel. It's quite interesting, so you'd be... And also, that's like one of my favourite parts. That chapter is one of my favourite parts, so I like that one.
And it's kind of exciting, isn't it? The idea of this kind of mystery parcel. I mean, even ourselves, if we get a parcel in the post, it's kind of exciting. Even if I've ordered it online myself, it still arrives and I go, ooh, I wonder what it is. Okay, cool. One other thing, Lily, I was just thinking, you were saying earlier on, you've seen the films as well.
Yeah.
Did you think the books were better than the films?
By far, yeah, definitely. The books are way better.
Why is that?
Well, because I think when you're watching the movies, they've cut out a lot of parts. So sometimes you get very confused about what's happening and why. And because I remember my mum was watching it and she was wondering what's going on, you know. And you sort of have to read the books to know the movies. But whereas you don't have to watch the movies to understand the books. So.
Ah, I see. And no matter how good the film is, it always has to cut lots out of the book, doesn't it? If they don't do that, the film will be too long. Okay, that's good. Right, who would like to ask Tig a few questions? Because Tig has read something totally different. Ava, you go ahead there.
Okay. What was the name of your book, Tig?
It was See You in the Cosmos by Jack Chang.
Cool. Could you tell me a bit about it? Like, just what's it about?
So it's about an 11-year-old boy named Alex Petrotsky who starts making audio recordings to put into his rocket to send up into space for other life forms in the universe to find.
That sounds really interesting. Where's it set?
It's set in Colorado in the United States, in Rockview.
Cool. What did you like about it?
I liked the philosophy of it, and I liked like the unique characters, like Alex, who's like a very unique character because of like his liking for like space, his liking for Carl Sagan and all that.
That's cool, yeah. Was there a villain in the story?
Not necessarily. It was more like of an adventure, kind of.
Yeah.
And your main character there, Alex, did he have any flaws, any things that you didn't like about him or found strange?
Not really. He seemed like a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, and how old was he in the story?
11.
He was 11, okay, so a little bit younger than you. And he was an American character in Colorado. Okay. Was the story told in the first person from his point of view, or was it told by like somebody else talking about him?
It was told in a unique way, like from his audio recordings that he made in his iPod to put into the rocket. He kind of talks like to us as if he was talking to like other life forms in the universe found the iPod.
Okay, so was it pretty different from books you normally read?
Yeah, it was very different.
Okay, how did you come across it?
My dad found it. It was strongly recommended, passionately recommended by a bookkeeper in the shop.
Oh, very good. Can I have a quick look at it there, please? I'm just going to have a little look at the blurb and then I might get you to read a passage to me there. So it says on the back, all 11-year-old Alex wants is to launch his iPod into space. With a series of audio recordings, he will show other life forms out in the cosmos what life on Earth, his Earth, is really like. It's exactly what you told us, Tig. But for a boy with a long-dead dad, a troubled mum, and a mostly not around brother, Alex struggles with the big questions. Where do I come from? Who's out there? And above all, How Can I Be Brave? It looks really interesting. And again, like Harry Potter, Harry's an orphan, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he has, it says, a long dead dad and a troubled mum. A lot of our characters, actually, when I look at the novels that we've read over the last few months on the show, quite a lot of our characters have difficult backgrounds. A lot of them have troubled homes. Because that happens a lot in stories. Why do you think that might be? Why do they give our characters kind of sad backgrounds sometimes, Tig?
I think it shows sort of a strong character. Like, it shows, like, how strong they are, like, how mature they are, and, like, kind of gives, like, sort of a unique way rather than, like, an average Joe kind of person.
Yeah, very good. They have to be strong, yeah. So it makes them a bit more interesting, Lily.
And they could be really inspiring. So for people who are like that, they could be inspired to do something. And not to be scared, but like to do something similar to that. Not like go be a wizard or something.
But to be brave.
To be brave, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of our heroes or our heroines in stories can be inspiring. They're sometimes they're role models or they have to be brave. And then we like that and we might admire them. Tig, would you like to read a little bit for us?
Yep.
Yeah?
I decided to read the start of the book where Alex Petrotsky introduces himself. Who are you? What do you look like? Do you have one head or two? More? Do you have light brown skin like I do, or smooth grey skin like a dolphin, or spiky green skin like a cactus? Do you live in a house? I live in a house. My name is Alex Petrotsky, and my house is in Rockview, Colorado, United States of America, planet Earth. I am 11 years old and 8 months old, and the United States is 242 years old, and Earth is 4.5 billion years old. I'm not sure how old my house is. Maybe you live on an ice planet, so instead of houses you have igloos, and your hands are ice picks, and your feet are snowshoes, and you're covered in gold brown fur like Carl Sagan. That's my dog. I named him after my hero, Dr. Carl Sagan, who is one of the greatest astronomers of our time. Dr. Sagan helped send Voyagers 1 and 2 into deep space and put a golden record on them with all kinds of sounds from our planet, like whales singing and people saying hello in 55 languages, and the laugh of a newborn baby and the brainwaves of a woman in love, and mankind's greatest music like Bach and Beethoven and Chuck Berry. Maybe you've heard of it.
Okay, that's great, Tig. Right, that does sound different and quite interesting. Ava, we want to hear a bit about what you've read as well. So who'd like to get started and ask Ava a few questions there? Lily?
So what book are you doing?
I'm doing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It's the last book. It's like a definite difference between the first book and the last book. Like the last book is a lot darker because Harry's a lot older and it changes.
So how many years are between the two books?
Well, he's 11 in the first book and 17 in the last book, so six.
So who's your favourite character and why?
Well, I like Hermione as well because she's very smart and clever, and like she always knows what to do, and when Harry and Ron are in trouble, which is a lot, she kind of helps them out, and without her they wouldn't really survive a day because she's very resourceful and clever. But there's a lot of other characters that I like as well. But
could you name a couple of characters that you like?
Well, I like Dumbledore because he's cool. And
who's Dumbledore?
He's the wizard. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but in most of the books, he's the headmaster of Hogwarts, and he's very old and wise and stuff, and he knows a lot of stuff, and he helps Harry. Like, he's kind of like the old, you know, wise mentor kind of that they have. And he kind of guides Harry and shows him what to do, like, to help defeat Voldemort, who's the evil wizard.
For what age group would you recommend this book to?
Well, like, the first book, I'd say, like, younger children could read it, but like I'd say the older book is probably for like 10 up because it's a bit dark.
It's interesting as well what you're saying about the characters growing up through the books, because in some children's sequels what happens is, and especially with books I would have read growing up, you have maybe the kids are sort of 10, 11 in the first book, but they're always kids. So the 10 books later, they're still kids. And so J.K. Rowling was a bit different because she chose to let her characters grow up with each book. And then her readers grew up with each book. Her readers, I mean, she's very clever, I think, in that sense, because her readers might start reading when they're 9, 10, whatever the age is, and they're getting older. Yeah. And as you said, it gets darker, but it's okay. The readers are getting a bit older and they're able to take it. And when you say it gets a bit darker, what do you mean by it gets a bit darker?
In the first book, it's kind of just he's new to this wizarding world and it's all magical and cool and wonderful. But then, like, he gets used to it, so it's not like, you know, it's still cool. But then also the wizard Voldemort becomes a lot more stronger and powerful, and there's like this big war thing. There's a lot of like things about like death and like really like dark stuff.
Yeah,
like
is there violence?
Yeah, like it's not very like violent, but like yeah, there's a lot of like.
They have killing spells and everything.
Killing
so
spells.
It wouldn't be of someone stabbing someone. It would be using a wand to kill someone.
Yeah, okay.
So there's no blood or anything.
That's interesting. Have you any questions, Tig?
How do you feel about the ending?
Well, it's a bit... Like, it's all... Like, I'm happy with the ending. Like, some
and
books
don't
I
give
read,
it away.
I won't. Well, some books I read and I'm like, how could they do that? That is a terrible ending. But with this book, it's like, it's kind of what is meant to happen. Like, you know, you kind of expect. But there are some things that happen at the end that are very sad or bad and stuff. But mostly, overall, the ending's grand. Like,
I'm dying to find out what happens in the end, but I can't. So... As you probably know, a lot of adults read Harry Potter. In fact, from the moment Harry Potter came out, adults started reading it. And you might meet young adults today who are rereading it from their childhood. But as I said, there were adults who started from the beginning. They never read it. They never had it as children. Why do you think adults are reading Harry Potter books?
Well, I think Harry Potter is kind of for all ages. And like, there's J.K. Rowling is very clever. Like Lily said, she does put through the whole books. There's loads of little things that if you read over, you think that's why that was there and stuff like that. But also, like, a lot of things are metaphors for real life problems and stuff in Harry Potter. Like, J.K. Rowling is very clever and she, like, makes them, like, dementors are meant to be, like, a metaphor for depression and stuff. And so there's a lot of, like, deep stuff. And I think they're good for all ages. I've reread them, like, so many times. And I think, like, just anybody can read them because they're just really good.
You have me convinced. I think I'm going to have to read these books. Lily?
I find J.K. Rowling a very inspiring author because I think when I'm older, I want to be an author. Her whole story is just incredible. She's a single mother and she lived in an apartment with her daughter. She would go to this cafe and she'd just write the book. And she finished the last book in a hotel in Edinburgh. I just find it so incredible how you'd be able to finish a book that's not in like a certain area, like in a study or something. She went to some place and she just wrote a book. I think it's very inspiring with like a lot of things she was going through. She managed to make loads of money and she managed to keep her daughter like safe and well and everything. So
she came from very hard times. I mean, she's a multimillionaire now, but she came from poverty. She was unemployed for years and she really struggled. So it's an amazing success story. Now, Tig, you are really well read. I mean, you are an avid reader, but you have completely skipped the Harry Potter books. How did that happen?
I don't know. I had a phase of like loving the movies, but I just haven't gone to read them.
Sometimes if I see the film first, I don't read the book. I like to read the book first, then I might watch the film. But if I see the film, that's it. I'm just not going to read it. So you just kind of skipped it. And do you like reading about magic?
Yeah, I kind of like realistic kind of books where it kind of relates to actual real life.
More realism. Yeah, me too. So I remember when the Harry Potter books came out, they were just, oh my God, a phenomenon for years. Everybody was just Harry Potter mad and children who didn't read were reading Harry Potter. It was everywhere. Now I notice with people maybe a little bit younger than you, the writer they're all talking about now is David Walliams.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys all read something by David Walliams?
Yeah.
You've all read something, so tell me, Tig, what do you think of him?
I think he's a pretty good author. All of his books are pretty... I found them funny when I was little. Like, I read all the books, but then he published more books, so I haven't gone to finish the collection.
There's still more to read, yeah, and that's good. Lily?
I actually disagree. I don't find him a very good author because I just think the way he writes, the language he writes in, I don't find it very appealing, I guess. Like, he talks to you as if he knows who he's talking to and everything, and he says, and he has, like, in quotation marks, it has a ding, ding, and he says, no, reader, that's not your doorbell. And I just find it very unrealistic, I guess. Like, I've read loads of his books, like Billionaire Boy and everything, and I just find some of the endings, they feel like they're not finished, and,
Right.
I like him as a person. I've seen some of him like doing stuff.
He's on
like,
TV a lot,
on TV,
isn't he?
Yeah, but
does he do some talent show or something?
Yeah, Britain's Got Talent.
Oh,
I think it is. Yeah.
I knew he did something different as well. So, Ava, what about you? Do you like him?
I don't like David. I don't like the books. Like Lily said, he thinks that he understands children and then he's like writing them to make them realistic, but they're not realistic at all. And they don't relate, you don't relate to them at all. Like he's like, oh, they're relatable to young children, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, Tig?
Well, it's kind of different for everyone. I didn't like laugh out physically when I read the book, but I just kind of found it like smart the way he kind of like, you know, like Lily said, like ding ding. I thought it was smart rather than kind of like funny.
Isn't it interesting how we all have completely different reactions? And that's the great thing about a book, that we can all read the same book and then have a completely different personal response. It's really good. So they're very, very modern writers, David Walliams, J.K. Rowling. They weren't around when I was your age. Do you think David Walliams is for younger kids? Are you past him now?
Yeah. For maybe 7-year-olds, maybe.
Oh, okay. Much younger. Okay.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you like the books. I just don't like them personally, but I don't really think that books are for like a particular age. If you want to read them when you're older, then
just read them and enjoy them. Absolutely. Just before we finish up soon, recently enough, some of you are reading classic novels for English. Can anyone tell me a bit about those? What did you do, Ava?
I did To Kill a Mockingbird.
And how did that go?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I found it quite easy to read at first. Like the language is a bit difficult, but then you kind of get into it, and thought it was really interesting. There was one bit and I was just really, I couldn't put it down. I just wanted to finish it.
Was it the courtroom?
It was really intense and I just wanted to finish it.
From what I can remember, I think the courtroom drama went over 5 chapters. And Tig?
I've read The Old Man and the Sea.
Oh my goodness. I did that book with my 6th years and To Kill a Mockingbird with my 2nd years. So you guys are way ahead of yourselves. So what did you think of that, Tig?
I thought it was a very good book. It's the adventure of just an old man doing his job fishing in the sea, and it turns out to be a big adventure for him. He kind of relates to me in the way that he talks to himself a lot and says the same thing in his head over and over again.
And I remember at the beginning, the other fishermen, I think, wanted to stay away from him because he was salau, he was unlucky.
Yeah, he wasn't getting any fish.
And then he went after this big whale or shark.
I think it was a swordfish.
Oh, very, very sad novel though.
Yeah.
Really sad. Lily, what about you? Did you do a classic novel recently?
Yes, I did Animal Farm.
And we know all about that because we talked about that on the last show. You really liked it, didn't you?
Now I think back to it, I really like it. And then in some parts, I don't really like it. I had to do a book review on it. I sort of explained it.
And that is a novel you will read again when you're older. Has anyone decided what they're reading next?
I'm dying to read To Kill a Mockingbird, I guess, because I've heard so many people say like really good things about it. So
Ava?
I've started this new book called Bone Gap, and it's really interesting. It's not a well-known book. I think it might be new, but it's like set in America, and it's kind of like, it's not like fantasy, like it's reality, but there's kind of like elements of magic in it.
Yeah, I don't know it. Tig?
I started to read Huckleberry Finn, but then I stopped. I'm considering to go back to it because I just kind of found the way it's kind of like written, like the language.
The language, the southern dialect. Yeah. It's difficult to read. We're not from there. It was a different time. Again, I would have done that book with older students in the past. It's just a really old-fashioned boys' adventure story. I'd give it a go again if I were you, or maybe wait, you're a little bit older, but give it a go, or even maybe YouTube it. There used to be a TV series, and watch 5-10 minutes just to kind of hear the accent, the southern dialect. But yeah, give it a chance again, because it's a really great story and it's full of philosophy as well. It's not just an ordinary kid's story. I read it as an adult and I just loved it. So I think that brings us to an end here. I think we're going to wrap up. Thank you very much, guys. I've really enjoyed hearing about these books. I think I will maybe give Harry Potter a go, because I'm very curious now, having listened to you, and your enthusiasm has kind of infected me a bit. And so I'd just like to say a big thank you to all our listeners here at Near FM. Hopefully we'll be back next term in September with our next round of the Mount Temple Book Club. Thank you very much. Goodbye.